Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The book of Proverbs begins with the statement, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." That's Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. Most of the Proverbs that follow are, in fact, the words of this great king, of whom the scriptures say that he wrote 3,000 Proverbs, 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32. There are, however, a few sections of Proverbs that are attributed to other unnamed wise men, and to Agur, the son of Jakka, in chapter 30, and to King Lemuel in chapter 31, verses 1 through 9, men who are otherwise unknown to us. If Solomon is the primary author of the Proverbs, then we can date them during the time of his reign, about 1000 BC to about 931 BC. At least one section of the book of Proverbs was transcribed by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, Proverbs chapter 25, and verse 1. This suggests that although Solomon wrote most of the Psalms, they were collected and compiled over a period of about 200 years after his death. Most of the Proverbs are short, compact statements that express truths about human behavior. A common feature in the Proverbs is the use of figurative language and the use of similes. For example, "As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed," Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 14. Sometimes these statements are made in the form of comparisons, such as, "Better is the poor who walks in integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich," Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Throughout the Proverbs, however, a single theme forms the foundation. That theme is, seek wisdom. Wisdom is personified in the Proverbs as a woman who calls the naive to come and learn God's ways from her. Wisdom stands in contrast to the adulterous woman, who is the personification of folly and who entices the naive to pursue wickedness. For a few moments today, we will examine the nature and value of wisdom and the call of Scripture to seek it. As we begin our study, let's first notice how wisdom is defined. One dictionary definition for wisdom is the faculty of making the best use of knowledge, experience, understanding, etc., good judgment, sagacity. Now, the word sagacity sounds important, but is not one that we often use in daily speech. This word is defined as quickness or acuteness of discernment or penetration and soundness of judgment. These definitions suggest to us that wisdom is an important quality. They also suggest that wisdom is an uncommon quality. If only for these reasons, wisdom is something to be highly prized. In the Scriptures, wisdom is portrayed as something with intrinsic value. One example of this is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Here Solomon said, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast." Now notice the number of ways in which Solomon describes the value of wisdom in these short verses. He does so by contrasting it to several precious commodities, namely silver, gold, and jewels, in each case stating that wisdom exceeds the value of that item. Then he uses the greatest superlative of all, saying that nothing one might desire can compare with it. These statements certainly paint a highly desirable picture of this quality. Solomon did not stop there, however. He went on to declare wisdom to be the source of long life, riches, honor, peace, and ultimately eternal life, as indicated by the reference to wisdom being a tree of life. Finally, those who grasp wisdom are happy. Is there anything else that could be more desirable than this to enhance life? Well, the obvious answer is no. It is clear from a biblical perspective that wisdom has great value, yet it is not like some things of value that are unattainable by the common person. As a matter of fact, wisdom beckons each of us to come to her table and to partake of her food. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, Solomon said, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city, "Whoever is naive, let him turn in here." To him who lacks understanding, she says, "Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding." By personifying wisdom in this manner, as Solomon does throughout the Proverbs, he was illustrating God's desire that all mankind should partake of it. Further, he is showing that wisdom is right there, within reach, for everyone who is willing to answer its call. Those who are naive, that is, the ones who do not yet possess wisdom, are graciously invited to come to the place where wisdom may be acquired. Every possible means is employed in order to get those without wisdom to receive it. This is the sign of a loving God who has made all we need available to us. But we must respond to wisdom's call, or we will remain naive. The call of wisdom is a particular thing. It is a narrow thing. It is a call to a way of life that is characterized by truth, righteousness, prudence, and discretion. In Proverbs chapter 8, Solomon details all these aspects of what wisdom offers versus a life that is devoid of it. In verses 7 through 9, Solomon said, "For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge." Continuing on in verses 12 and 13, wisdom says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate." From these statements, we see that the call to wisdom is to a higher way of life. The things which characterize wisdom are 180 degrees opposite the way of the foolish one. The foolish one is bound up in what is evil, but wisdom elevates the one who partakes of it to a righteous and godly way of life. The things we have briefly considered make a strong case for the value of wisdom and for the desirability of seeking it. Yet we may wonder if we can attain it. The promise of Scripture is that all who seek wisdom will attain it. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, wisdom says, "I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." Now, this is a powerful promise, but we need to point out that this promise, like all promises in Scripture, is conditional. The conditions for finding wisdom are that one must love wisdom and must diligently seek it. In other words, we do not attain wisdom in the way we catch the flu. Neither do we attain it simply by living a long time. It is somewhat like the small gate that opens onto the narrow way about which Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14 that there are few who find it. If we want wisdom, we are going to have to expend some energy in pursuit of it. The pursuit of wisdom begins with our attitude toward God and His Word. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the wise man said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." He restated this point in slightly different terms in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Here he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." If we wish to acquire wisdom, we must begin with a healthy respect and awe for our God and Father in heaven. This attitude sets the parameters for our lives. It establishes the one who is the source of all authority and the one who is the humble slave in his service. If we do not fear the Lord, we will go our own way in our own foolish human wisdom, and true wisdom will never be ours. At any point in our lives that we find ourselves struggling to do what is right, there is something we need to call to mind. If we are going our own way, in whatever aspect of life it may be, we have lost our fear of the Lord and need to regain that fear. We need to remember that He is God, and He will judge us by His standard and not by ours. If we fear the Lord, We will then have respect for His Word, by which He has revealed to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. This is what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It is here that the practical pursuit of wisdom begins. Remembering that the definition of wisdom is the faculty of making the best use of knowledge, experience, and understanding, we must first build our knowledge of God's Word if we wish to one day attain wisdom. Now this happens only by design. To gain the knowledge of God's Word that we need in order to be wise, we must apply ourselves to the systematic study of God's Word. The Lord in His wisdom has made it clear in the Scriptures that knowledge of His Word is essential to His people. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, Moses commanded the people of Israel to diligently teach God's Word to their children. They were to do so in every aspect of their daily lives so that their children would learn God's Word and obey it. This same admonition is given to fathers in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. In addition to this, all Christians are charged by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 to be diligent to show themselves as approved by God by their accurate handling of the word of truth. Therefore, if we want wisdom, we must apply ourselves to learning God's word and becoming proficient in its use. It is at this point that many people fail. Some fail because they are unwilling to study God's Word. As a result, they go about spiritually ignorant because they refuse to open the book. Some others fail because, having learned God's Word, at least to some degree, they get the big head and stop growing and maturing in the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul wrote about such people. He said, "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant," literally puffs up, "but love edifies." Now the point is that just learning what God's Word says does not in itself make one wise. In fact, if we do not retain our respect and awe for the Lord and for His Word, our knowledge will in fact make us arrogant. A person with only knowledge is yet another example of a foolish one who will end up going his own way rather than God's way. The key here is how one uses his knowledge of God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, the Scripture shows us that this is a process of practice. The writer of Hebrews says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." We see then that it is by exercise of our minds in training them to properly understand and apply the Scriptures that we gain maturity and with it wisdom. For wisdom is an adjunct of maturity, and both are the products of years of experience and practice with God's Word. Wisdom is also the product of an ongoing petition to God to grant it to us. We know that we have attained wisdom when we see the fruits of it in our lives. In James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, James said, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." This is a pretty clear picture of what wisdom is, and this is what we are called to pursue. A final word from Proverbs chapter 8 leaves us with the choice to seek wisdom or to seek something else. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, wisdom says, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and those who hate me love death." As with everything that God requires of us, there is no middle ground with respect to wisdom. We either love it and seek it, or we hate it and pursue folly. The exhortation of Scripture is to seek wisdom at every opportunity to do so until we attain it. For only in the pursuit of wisdom will we successfully walk the narrow path that leads to eternal life. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.